Alhamdulillah wa kafa salatu salamu alayhi wa alihi allatheena istafa'u ma ba'd. A'udhu billahi minash shaitaanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmaanir raheem. Wa la tankihu al-mushrikaati hatta yu'minna. Wa la 'abdun mu'minun khayrun min mushrikatin wa law a'jabatkum. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati 'amma yasifun wa salaamun 'alal mursaleen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil 'aalameen. Allahumma salli 'ala sayyidina Muhammad wa 'ala aali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. So we should start with Surah Baqarah verse number 221. Allah Tabaraka wa Taala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تنكحوا المشركات حتى يؤمنن. And you should not marry the non-Muslims, the mushrikat, the non-Muslim women, hatta yu'minna, until and unless they believe. Wala amatun mu'minatun khayrun min mushrikatin walau a'jabatkum. And a believer, slave woman, a believer, slave woman is better than a mushrika woman, despite the fact that her looks might attract you, despite the fact that they might attract you. وَلَا تُنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُوا. And you should not marry your Muslim women to the non-Muslim and kafir men, حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُوا, until they believe in Islam, until they believe in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. وَلَعَبْدُ مُؤْمِنُ خَيْرٌ مِنْ مُشْرِكٍ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكُمْ. And a believer slave man, a believer slave man is better than a mushrik man. وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكُمْ, even if they attract you. أُولَٰئِكَ يَدْعُونَ الْجَنَّةِ. This verse is a bit wrongly written. أُولَٰئِكَ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى النَّارِ. It's أولئك يدعون إلى النار. أولئك يدعون إلى النار. أولئك يدعون إلى النار. Indeed, they call you towards the hell, the fire of hell. والله يدعو إلى الجنة والمغفرة. And Allah تبارك وتعالى calls you to His Jannah and to His forgiveness. بإذنه, with His own wish, with His own desire. وَيُبَيِّنُ آيَاتِهِ لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. And He makes His verses clear to the people so that they may observe the advice. So now this whole verse, the long verse of Surah Baqarah, now this verse, verse number 221, pertains to the important injunction of intermarrying between the Muslims and non-Muslims. Allah Tabaraka wa Taala says that believing men should not marry the kafir females, the kafir women, and so does the believing women should not be married to the non-believing men, the kafir men. So this is the first rule that Allah Tabaraka wa Taala has stated in this verse. And then the reason that Allah Tabaraka wa Taala stated is that the marital relations, they demand two things. They demand two things between the spouses. One is love and the other is harmony and mutual understanding of how the house will work. So these are two things that are very important for any house, for any marriage. And because the believers have a completely different way of getting harmony and peace and serenity, and the non-believers have a completely different way of getting that peace and harmony, so hence they cannot exist in the same house. Because if they do not have harmony, then how can you even imagine getting love in between them? So the first thing is harmony, coherence, understanding. If you don't have that, then you cannot even achieve love in between the spouses. Therefore, the Tabaraka wa Taala has said very clearly that a believing man cannot marry the mushrik females, and the Mu'minat, let's put it in Arabic, so I'll just say Mu'minat and Mushrikat. So the Mu'minat cannot marry the Mushrik men. And then Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala said, Yulfi Ubayya. Until when he cannot marry them? Hatta yu'min. Until and unless those kafir, Mushrik women accept Islam and embrace Islam. If they accept Islam, then you can marry them. And then Allah Ta'ala says, even if their physical being or their status in the society might attract you, despite that you cannot marry them, and you should prefer a believing slave woman over these kafir mushrika. Why? See, in a society, a slave has, it's supposed to say, that's much lesser than a normal female. And Allah Ta'ala is trying to explain that even if you have love for something that's quite mundane, that love will not last until unless this relationship is built on Iman. If this relationship is built on Iman, Alhamdulillah. If it's not built on Iman, then you have death and you have disagreements and fights in the house. And the other part says, وَلَا تُنْتُهُمْ مُشْرِكِينَ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُوا. You should not let your women, Muslim believing women, marry the Mushrik men. Now this is a very important ruling over here that's being, I can say, misinterpreted in our society right now. In our universities and colleges, in our, again, secular liberal media, that believing men can marry the Mushrikat, and so does we as Muslims can offer our believing sisters and siblings to the kafir men. Allah has clearly said this is not jais. This is completely not jais. Completely not jais. And then Allah has explained the reason ahead. But then the question will be coming to everyone's mind. Allah Ta'ala has said another portion of the Quran, فَالْمُحْسَنَاتُ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that, and those good women from the Ahl Kitab, you can marry them. That's what Allah said in Quran. So now the Fuqaha and Mufassirin have taken understanding from it that yes, the believing men can marry the Ahle Kitab, the females of Ahle Kitab. And who are Ahle Kitab? The Jews and Christians. I will go into detail of it. I guess there is more fit class than of Tafsir. Because who will be categorized as Ahle Kitab? That's an important thing to understand. Because nowadays we think everyone's Ahle Kitab. Nowadays we think everyone's Ahle Kitab. So first thing is, yes, Allah Ta'ala has allowed the believing men to marry the females of Ahle Kitab, that is, the Jews and Christians. Now, some people have raised this question, why? Why is it so that Allah Ta'ala has forbidden us to marry the Mushrikat, the Mushrik women, but Allah Ta'ala has allowed us to marry the Ahle Kitab? So understand that our Islam is based on three things. So you can say there are three foundations for Islam. One is Tawheed, the other one is Risala. One is Tawheed, that you believe in the unity of Allah Ta'ala. Second is you believe in the final Prophet of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And third is Akhirah, right? Now between us and the Ahle Kitab, two things are common. In the true teachings of Ahle Kitab, again, true teachings of Ahle Kitab, the Jews believe in the unity of Allah Ta'ala, and so do Christians believe in the unity of Allah Ta'ala. We can argue upon the fact that whether they are monotheists or not right now in this day and age, but they still call themselves the monotheist religions. Even if you ask a Christian, they say, no, we are monotheists. We are monotheists, right? So that's one thing. The second thing, we Christians and Jews, we all three believe in the final day of judgment as well. Two things. The only disagreement is about the Prophet of Rasulullah. And once a person does not accept this important thing, he will not be able to enter Islam. He cannot enter into Islam. He will not be able to enter into Islam. So that's an important thing. So these two things are common. Therefore, Allah Ta'ala has allowed us intermarry means men from Muslim community can marry the women from Ahle Kitab. Now the third thing comes over here is But nowadays in our education, in our schools and colleges, this thing has been promoted that, no, the way we as Muslims can marry the Ahl-e Kitab, similarly we can give our females the Ahl-e Kitab as well. It's not jaiz at all. We cannot do that. Allah Ta'ala has already mentioned it's only for muhsanat. Muhsanat is for the, it's used for the women. So only men from Muslim community can marry them. So I'll narrate an incident that I myself was shocked to listen to. So one of my in-laws made this incident, personal incident, that they went to one of the favorite schools of Park Karachi right now. I mean, the school in Karachi right now has one of the huge targets of spreading vulgarity as much as they can. So they went there for the admission of their young daughter, and she was around 7 to 8 years old. And in the interview team sitting over there conducting the interview asked me a blatant question. Two blatant questions. First question about the mother and father was that if your daughter runs away, if she runs away with a Hindu boy, what will you do? It's possible. What will you do? What will be your reaction? The second question was that what if she, I mean, that's what you elope, right? She elopes with the Hindu man. So what will you do? What will be your reaction? And second is, will you allow her to marry a non-Muslim? That is the so-called Hindu guy, if she falls in love with. So what are they trying to promote? This question. They're basically rejecting this whole verse of Quran. This whole verse of Quran. And this is promoted very openly. Very openly, and they're very proud about it. And then they clearly said it. So our school, I mean, despite the fact it's an all-girls school, but it's not just all girls because of any religious reason. The only and sole reason why we are all girls is so that we can promote this feministic concept of individualism in females. But they are independent, and they can do whatever they want to do. So this is what's being promoted right now, living in 2015 Karachi, going clearly against the verses of Quran, clearly against the verses of Quran. And if you read these verses in front of those people, they definitely have something or the other to play with this verse. Now comes the logical reason of why Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has allowed the believing men to marry the women of Ahl-e Kitab and not vice versa. So the reason is that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has put this in the genes of women. You can say that they are softer, milder, and they can be easily dominated as well. And they have not given any caretaking role or any controlling power. The controlling power or the caretaking role is given to the men. So if a woman lives a subservient life under a non-believing man, there's a chance, there's a huge probability of she accepting his religion and she becoming a kafir as well. She becoming an Ahl-e Kitab as well. That's the sole reason why Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala hasn't allowed believing women to marry the Ahl-e Kitab men. Now, another important point that we want to clarify over here is that what if the husband and wife both are Muslims, but one turns out to be an atheist? One turns out to be an atheist, or one rejects the deen of Islam after getting married. So what will be the injunction? So the injunction is the moment any of the spouses leave the religion of Islam, the nikah itself is completely abrogated. It's completely finished. Now they cannot stay as husband and wife. They cannot stay as husband and wife. The moment any one of them turns out to be atheist or gets out of the fold of Islam by any of their words, so they cannot be for husband and wife. We cannot live a life of husband and wife. This is very important. So important as well. Now comes the point of whether women, whether Muslim men can marry. So Fuqaha said, yes, Muslim men can marry the women of Ahlul Kitab. But is it something that's mustahab? It's something that will get sawab and ajr upon that? So it's worth considering the fact that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala completely rejected this idea of men, Muslim men, marrying Ahlul Kitab women. During his reign, and it's mentioned by Imam Muhammad Muttal in his book, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, find alarming situations of such marriages in Iraq and Syria. So he had to, literally, with his mission in the books, he had to stop these using an executive order. He had to stop these using an executive order. Why? Why? The reason is that Al-Qaba was most famous hadith of the Prophet ﷺ in anyone has to marry. The famous hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is that whenever you marry someone, you have to look for four things. And the first thing that you should look is for deen. Right? Deen. So what's mustahab? Mustahab is to marry someone who's much, much more deendar, who's much, much more muttaqi, parizgar, who's much more taqwa than me or you if you marry someone. And over here, when you marry Ahli Kitab, they don't have taqwa. They're not Muslims. So how can you consider it to be something good? Therefore, Al-Hazrat says, personally, myself, heard this from my Hazrat's father, said that this Ahli Kitab to Shadi hoti hai na? Ye Ahli Kitab se Shadi ka chaska lagta hai. Ye Ahli Kitab se Shadi nahi hoti, Gori Chami se Shadi hoti hai. Gori Chami se Shadi ka shauk hota hai. That's true. Because right now in this day and age, what's happening is that once these marriages happen, the children, they live a completely dichotomous life. You know what dichotomy is? Dichotomy is basically living in two states. You don't know which state you're living in. Whether you're a believer or a non-believer. You're either Muslim or you're a Christian. So on Jummah, you go with your father to masjid, and on Sunday, you'll be going with your mother to church. That's the life. Literally, I've personally met such people in my school, in my college, in my university, who live such lives. On Friday they go with the father to masjid for Jummah, and then on Sundays they go with the mothers to church. So now we classify this as Muslims and non-Muslims. Definitely non-Muslims. Because any such action that negates Islam is kufr. It's kufr. Therefore the Fuqaha have never ever appreciated this marriage of even the believing men with the Ahlul Kitab and Kafira and females. Now comes the importance of what defines these, what possible to define this, the Ahlul Kitab women as Ahlul Kitab. So the Fuqaha had mentioned, as the Thani Muqtada has mentioned in his Bayan al-Quran, that Ahlul Kitab means that they should believe at least in the basic tenets of Ahlul Kitab, the basic faith of Ahlul Kitab, and that's unity in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They should be monotheists. One thing. But the majority of the so-called white-skinned people right now living in England or in Europe or in the US, they're not Christians. The reality is they're almost atheists. The majority of them are atheists. And a small minority can be agnostics. An extremely small minority are so-called true Christians. So you don't find true Christians right now existing. So the current day situation in which the women are living, or the Westerners are living, that almost 99% are atheists. And therefore the Fuqaha mentioned that it's not jais to marry them. Even if they call themselves Christians, but if they do not accept the basic faith of Christianity, they're not Christians. And hence you cannot marry them. And similarly with the Jews. There are many Jews who call themselves Jews, but they don't believe in the Prophet of Moses, they don't believe in the Torah, they don't act upon it, and they live a life of complications. They have doubts about their own religion. So the golden rule is, you cannot marry them. The golden rule is that you cannot marry them in this day and age. It's extremely rare to find some highly deendar and parizgar Jew and Christian women to marry. And then I'm going to mention in Quran, the reason is, Ulaika yaduna ila Allah. Let me why? Because they call you to hell. They call you to hellfire. That's what they call you to. That's what Christianity and Judaism is calling us. They're calling us to hell. They're calling us to hell. And we yadu ila al-jannah wa al-maghfirah. And Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala, Wallahu yadu. Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala is calling you towards His maghfirah and towards His jannah. And this is a beautiful part where Mashaykh is to enjoy this part. Wallahu yadu ila al-jannah. And Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala Himself is calling us towards jannah. See, there are two things. You can call someone towards your home, right? You can ask someone to come to your home. That's one thing. And the other thing is, you grab someone by hand and take him to your home. And this is what the Allah Ta'ala is doing in this verse. Allah Ta'ala is calling us and grabbing us by our hands, and He wants to spend it in Jannah. This is the beauty of this last part of this verse. Allahu yadu ila al-jannah wa al-maghfirah. Allah Ta'ala is calling us to Jannah and Maghfirah, and we have to answer this call. We have to answer this call. And then in this question, Bukhari Sharif, it comes that Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِنْ أَتَانِ يَمْشِي أَتَيْتُهُ هَرْوَلَا. If my person, if my believer comes to me walking, my rahmah, my mercy, my blessings come towards him running. Why? Because Allah yadu ila al-jannah, Allah Ta'ala is calling us towards Jannah. And how can we answer this call? We can answer this call by giving the sins and by completely engulfing ourselves in the sunnah of the Prophet. Once we are able to attain these two things, leaving all the sins in our life and completely following the sunnah of the Prophet, then we will be able to answer this call of Allah Ta'ala. Allah yadu ila al-jannah wa al-maghfirah bi'idhnih. And then the last part of this verse, Allah Ta'ala is saying, when you go to ayatihi lin-nas, Allah Ta'ala is explaining, literally explaining and making clear His verses to the humanity. Why? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ, so that they can seek some advice from it. But the irony is, we as believers read this verse and still try to act against it. Allah Ta'ala is calling us towards Jannah, and we, with our own actions, are going towards hell. That's what we're doing, right? If we sin, what are we doing? If any one of us is sinning, what are we doing? We are walking towards hell. We are taking ourselves towards hell. And what's Allah Ta'ala doing? Allah Ta'ala is calling us towards Jannah. So we are doing exactly the opposite of this verse. Exactly the opposite. That's in our amal and in our ideology. How do we do the opposite? And Allah Ta'ala is telling us it's forbidden for us to marry the kafir women. And so, we as Muslims, it's not allowed for us to give arms, giving sisters to them, and still we believe it's lies. It's our life. Let us live the life the way we want to live. And it's been promoted in our media on a daily basis, in our newspapers, in everything. And it's called, why, what's wrong with it? It's their individual life. It's their individual life. Let them live their own life. That's it. Let them live their own life. Unfortunately, you cannot live your own life. You cannot live your own life once you have accepted, once you have entered Islam. Once you have entered Islam, you cannot live your own life. You have to live the life that Allah Ta'ala has ordered and ordained in the Quran as well. And that's what the famous meaning of this hadith is. Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir. That is dunya. This dunya is sijn, is a cage for a believer. So now tell me, if someone lives in a cage, does he have his own free will? If someone lives in a prisoner has his own free will, can he sleep, eat, drink, have his own free will? No. He's bound by the laws and regulations of that prison. Isn't it so? If the prisoner can eat, sleep, drink, and do whatever he wants to do in the prison with his own free will, then why will he want to come out of it? Why would you want to abscond and run away from it? And this is the Prophet said, Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min. This world is a prison for a believer. Why? Because in this prison of the dunya, he cannot live his own free life. He has to live the life that will be regulated by the rules and injunctions from Allah Ta'ala and from His Prophet. There is no free will that you and me have. We have to follow the rules and regulations of Allah Ta'ala and His Prophet. And once we don't do it, the actor gives this verse of the Bhagavad and he sent his followers to Jannah, and we by our own actions, by taking the rules and commandments of the Bhagavad and the son of the Prophet, we're trying to go towards the hell. So now the Bhagavad enabled us to act on this words, and now the Bhagavad enabled us to put our life in such an order that whereby we are walking and running towards his Maghfira and towards his Jannah. And may Allah Ta'ala save us from each and every action and each and every ideology that leads us to hell. So let us recast this verse in A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Raheem. وَلَا تَنْكِهُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُ. And you should not marry the mushrikat, the mushrik women, حَتَّى يُؤْمِنَّ, until and unless they believe. وَلَا أَمَةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ, and a believing slave girl, خَيْرٌ مِنْ مُشْرِكَةٍ, is better than a mushrik woman. وَلَوْ عَجَبَتْكُمْ, despite the fact that they might attract you. Who might attract you? The non-believing, the kafira women. You might fall in love with them. You might get attracted towards their physical features, but Allah Ta'ala says you cannot marry them. You cannot marry them. وَلَا تُنْكِهُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُوا. And you should not let the believing women marry the Muslim men, حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُوا, until and unless they believe in Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala and Islam. وَالْعَبْدُ مُؤْمِنُ خَيْرٌ مِنْ مُشْرِكٍ, and a believing slave is better than a mushrik man. وَلَوْ أَعْجَبْكُمْ, despite the fact that they might attract you. أُولَٰئِكَ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى النَّارِ. The reason is that these kafir mushrik men and kafir mushrik women, they call you towards the fire of hell. يَدْعُونَ, they call you towards the fire of hell. وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُوا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ, and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is calling you towards his Jannah, وَالْمَغْفِرَةِ, and his Maghfirah, and his forgiveness, بِإِذْنِهِ, with his own permission, with his own will. وَيُبَيِّنُ آيَاتِهِ لِلنَّاسِ, and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has clearly manifested and opened his verses, has clearly manifested his verses, لِلنَّاسِ, for the humanity, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَكْوَلُونَ, so that they can seek advice from it. May Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala put us amongst those people who can seek advice from the verse of Quran, and may Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala enable us to enter into Jannah and seek His forgiveness. Alhamdulillah.